Ms. McGill at Penn, does calling for the genocide of Jews violate Penn's rules or code of conduct? Yes or no?
If the speech turns into conduct, it can be harassment. Yes.
I am asking specifically calling for the genocide of Jews. Does that constitute bullying or harassment?
If it is directed and severe or pervasive, it is harassment.
So the answer is yes.
It is a context-dependent decision, Congresswoman.
It's a context-dependent decision. That's your testimony today. Calling for the genocide of Jews is depending upon the context. That is not bullying or harassment. This is the easiest question to answer. Yes, Ms. McGill.
New York Republican Congresswoman Elise Stefanik grilling University of Pennsylvania President Elizabeth McGill on Capitol Hill on Tuesday. Harvard and MIT's leaders also came under fire for similar prevarication. Meanwhile, Hanukkah begins tonight. You might have seen a big story in the LA Times today about how many people in the country's second largest Jewish community are struggling with the holiday this year. Some are afraid to put up decorations, or maybe they worry a show of faith could be interpreted as steadfast support for Israel amid the war in Gaza. We're going to talk about how Hanukkah hits differently this year with Rabbi Susan Goldberg. She leads the Jewish spiritual community Nefesh. Welcome back to Press Play, Rabbi.
Thank you. Hello, Madeline.
Hi. All right. So what do you make of what we just heard at the top of this, the back and forth on Capitol Hill and the testimonies of these three college presidents? There's been a lot of fallout since then. What's your opinion of what happened there?
Yeah. Well, it was such a contrast with you playing that and then saying, meanwhile, tonight is Hanukkah. It
yeah.
feels very much
I know.
In line.
It's a little whiplash.
What's happening right now? The intensity in the world in so many places. You know, I have a student on a college campus. I have many young people in our community at Nefesh who are on college campuses. And it has been a really hard time to be a Jewish student on a college campus. And I'll just say that part of what is just so stunning about all of it is that college campuses could really be a beacon at this time of showing how we could have discourse on Israel-Palestine. There is such a lack of a meaningful dialogue about what's happening that holds complexity and nuance, that holds compassion, that holds listening and respect and understanding, and holds a clear moral framework mm-hmm. about the awfulness that has happened. And faculty also could be showing up more significantly, but it's hard. It's a scary conversation. It's a difficult conversation, but it is not an impossible conversation. And I know that it's hard. I mean, a lot of what we're doing in our community is really doubling down on dialogue, creating spaces, because one of the things that I think also people don't know is that there's a lot of diversity of lived experiences and opinions and knowledge and even awareness of the fullness of what's happening within the Jewish community. Mm-hmm. And so I do a lot of interfaith work. And right now I'm really being called to do a lot of intra-community work.
Oh, that's interesting. So what are the fault lines that you're seeing within the Jewish community? And I guess we'll leave the university discussion to the side right now, because I can see that there's a whole public stance versus a private stance happening there, the need to preserve free speech and a kind of lawyerly response to that question rather than a more human response that, well, genocide and calls for it should be universally condemned. But aside yes. from that, what are you hearing in your community between Jewish people who have differing views?
Yeah, so inside, there's a wide diversity of experience. There are those who are Israeli immigrants or who have family and close friends in Israel, and they have a specific experience that is unique. And I know that a lot of times they're needing to be heard about what, you know, you can imagine how hard it is to be far away when something has happened. We have folks with elderly parents there, with brothers and sisters there, with cousins. We have folks in our community who have cousins who have been held hostage. Two have been released, but there is still two more. There are folks whose family members were killed. And so there's an immediacy to that experience. Mm-hmm. There are others in the community who feel, you know, pretty overwhelmed. So many people are turning to social media right now to get information, which I find very alarming. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. it is not a good space to get information. And so really trying to encourage people to get quality journalistic reporting, as you all are doing, and a lot of other sources are doing. And then there was a growing group of Jewish young people in the community, and older adults, not just young people, but we see it a lot in younger people, who felt that the learning that they did about Israel as kids growing up in the Jewish community really kept the reality and the history of Palestinians was not included. Mm-hmm. And I do think that that was a real failure of Jewish education to not share the full story of what was happening in Israel and Palestine, because I do think that it would allow for a more complete picture now. And, you know, there is a shared humanity and compassion, and really it is also about the future and having a land of dignity and safety, security, dignity, human rights for everyone. We're going to need to be able to come to a new place in how we approach and learn and talk about what's happening.
Right. So this year's Hanukkah, which is a celebration of faith and a miracle that the oil lasted 8 nights, but it's also a celebration of a military victory by a much less powerful group of warriors against a more heavily armed state, I guess. So how are you looking at Hanukkah differently this year?
One of the things that I've heard from people is a growing sense of fear in being a Jew in the United States. I mean, there are the issues we're talking about Israel and Palestine, which I say a lot to our community. You know, we can learn and we can do our best to support humanitarian efforts and to learn, but really it's Israelis and Palestinians that are going to be taking the lead in that. We really need to be able to support them, because we do have agency here as Americans living in a climate that is getting more and more polarized. You know, we saw the beginning of the rise of this next wave of anti-Semitism started around the 2016 elections, around conspiracy theories and things happening. And so it's in that setting that this now is getting even worse. And so there is a lot of fear. There is growing fear. You know, should I take down my mezuzah in my house? Is it okay to wear a Star of David necklace? There have been anti-Semitic incidents. You know, the temple nearby us in another neighborhood in Burbank was, you know, had vandalism, and there have been several things happening. And so I know that that is part of what's happening. And it feels really important this year that Hanukkah is a time to come forward with our Jewish identity, even when it feels scary and difficult, because part of the mitzvah of Hanukkah is that we publicize it, that we put our menorahs in the window, that we say, this is who we are, and we're here in the community. And the other really important part, because, you know, we are such a very, very small minority. I think people forget that. We are a tiny minority, the Jewish community. And so what it really is that we need this year is we're needing for folks who are not Jewish to also express connection, concern, solidarity, to say, hey, you know, how can I help to make this workplace, this neighborhood, our community, a place that you feel safe and comfortable, and happy Hanukkah. It's at the minimum. I see you. I know that you're here. And I want you to know that I'm working to make our neighborhood, our workplace, our school, our community, a place that affirms who you are as a Jewish person and makes it safe for you. It feels like this Hanukkah, it's important for Jewish people to feel connected to who we are in all of our diversity. And I also think it's really important that non-Jewish people take an opportunity to express that we are seen and affirmed during this time.
Well, happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Rabbi Susan Goldberg leads the Jewish spiritual community Nefesh right here in Los Angeles. and happy first day of our end of year fundraiser. You're listening to the Season of Giving Back. It is really an excellent time to give back when we're feeling the need to try to make some positive contribution in this troubling world. At the time, it is full of strife. Maybe it's always full of strife, but it feels especially bad these days. But we are here to bring you a ray of light during this holiday season. Really, during the whole year, we bring you rays, many rays of light. And so we count on you to give back when the time is right. And now is that time because we have a KCRW champion named Mark Sandelson who will match your gift up to $10,000 today. So if you give today, your dollar will be worth $2 and on. So go to kcrw.com/give and do it now. You can also get a tax contribution, a tax deduction there by contributing to us at kcrw.com/give. Coming up, when you have an iPhone, your text bubble is blue. If you don't, it's green. And, well, because we humans are petty, there is judgment. It is seeped into dating. We'll talk about that next on Press Play.